Hello, my name is Hannah Lavery, and the following is a series of extracts from my play Hopeful Town. The sound designer is Danny Crass. It was performed by Saskia Ashdown, Kay Brown, Danielle Jam, and Ashley Smith. This audio extract has been recorded for the Edinburgh International Children's Festival. The play was created as part of Imaginate's Accelerator programme. Accelerator is supported by the Plays programme, funded by the Scottish Government through Creative Scotland, the City of Edinburgh Council, and the Edinburgh Festivals. Thank you.
Here is a girl. She is sitting at the dinner table. Her mother is on the phone. Her father makes dinner. She is waiting. Waiting to say something. Something she has been thinking about all week. All week. 7 whole days. Here is a girl, running home. Her friend is crying. Her best friend is crying. She wants her mum. She will know what to do. Something must be done. There must be something that can be done. Here is a girl, kicking leaves in the woods, wondering if she has time to climb that tree, if she can avoid scuffing her new shoes. She opens her rucksack, takes out a plastic bag, starts collecting the rubbish left on the ground. She will be late home again. Here is Anne. She is waiting. She has made a ginger cake. She puts down her newspaper and gazes out the window. It looks like rain.
Everybody says the boys are the fastest, even though me and Haley are the fastest, even though we are the actual fastest. It's always Rory and Josh, Rory and Josh, Rory and Josh always. I mean, I can beat anyone in the year, anyone. Even in my normal school shoes with their slippy soles. And you know, Rory and Josh have their grippy leather shoes. But still, even in my school skirt and tights, I am the fastest. I am the best runner in the whole year.
I grab her hand and we run. Flat out. Running. Their words flying at us. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But she is crying now. I am too. They hurt. Those words hurt. We explode into the house. My mum comes running down the stairs. I'm crying so hard now. It takes a while before I can speak, and for Layla, even longer. Layla and I have been best friends since primary 4. She is the cleverest girl in class, but I am better at maths and art. Layla talks all the time. I like to listen. It's a perfect match. We are like 2 peas in a pod. Kindred spirits. Sister friends. We are the only brown girls in our class, except I am light olive and she is like copper. We cycle to school together. Layla's bike is white and gold. My bike is red and black. Yesterday, we left our bikes and ran. Our dads had to go and get them later. My bike was missing its seat. Layla's had lost its gold ribbons.
Before my dad left, he made me this hide in our garden so I could watch the birds. I don't know if he made it knowing he was leaving us, but it's where I go when his not being here gets too much for me. Dad knew all the names of the birds and knew them just by their calls. He gave me a book about birds for my birthday. I'm not as good as him, but I'm getting there. We get a lot of birds in our garden. Chaffinches, blue tits, starlings, house sparrows, pigeons. But my favourite is the robin. I think it's because he's always on his own. You never see 2 robins. My robin comes right up to the hide, wanting to make friends. Good morning, he tweets. Good morning, Mr. Robin. I like to draw him. I draw him in a wee baseball cap with a rucksack, at bird school, in his nest watching bird TV. I want to be an illustrator and make children's books about animals when I grow up. just like Beatrix Potter. I've made a whole book already about Mr. Robin. It's quite a sad book, though. But then he meets a girl who is alone too, and they make friends. I'm not very good with people. I'm more of a bird person.
Haley's birthday is 2 weeks after mine, and since nursery, we have always had a joint party. Our mums are pals, so it makes sense. We usually want the same thing, like a theme. This year, we thought we'd have the sports day theme because, you know, it's us. Haley has a really big garden, and so we thought we'd like to set up different activities to complete, and then we would have a sort of Olympic ceremony. Haley's mum put together a prize winner's podium out of a nest of tables. We had chocolate medals in the party bags. The thing is, although most turned up for a sports day, Kelly and Sarah had on these party dresses and were so feared they would get into trouble if they messed them up or ruined their shoes, they just sat it out. Like the whole thing. Even the things they could have done. I mean, what's the point of party dresses? Like, how much fun can you really have when you're frightened of your own clothes, right? Mum? Sorry, sweetheart, she says. I am the fastest in class, I tell her. Then I burst into tears. Mum says I ran before I walked, that I would drive her demented, running up and down the flat. Dad says I was worse than a puppy, always wanting out. I remember being wee and running full pelt across the beach, trying to chase the gulls, arms out like a bird.
It was the greatest love story. That's what Mum said at Granda's funeral. Dad started crying when she said that, but Nan told her that was a beautiful thing to say. Sometimes words make you sad for good reasons. I loved my granddad, but Nan loved him more. She says she sometimes forgets he's gone. When we went round for our dinner that first Sunday after the funeral, she had set a place for him. Dad cried, and then Nan cried, and then we all cried. But even though it makes us sad, we always set him a place for Sunday dinner now. It's our way of remembering him. We go and look at her picture. We look at it for a long while. I take Nan's hand. She gives it a big squeeze like she did at Granda's funeral. There are always good people. There is always kindness, if you look for it. I thought about Kenny and Mikey helping Dad paint over the horrible graffiti. That was kindness. I tell Nan about that and she cuts me another slice of ginger cake. How kind, I say in this posh voice, and she laughs and laughs. She laughs just like Dad.
The school have 6 chickens. I help out on Wednesdays and Fridays. I put out the feed and collect the eggs. Mr. Jenkins used to help out too, but he died last autumn. Mr. Jenkins' wife comes now, but she's not as good with the chickens as Mr. Jenkins. She's a bit scared of them, so she sits outside the enclosure and talks to me. She tells me what a great job I'm doing. Sometimes she brings ginger cake. She likes my drawings. She asked if I would draw her one of the chickens. So I gave her one I did of Mr. Jenkins with Betty the chicken. Betty is the boss chicken. Mr. Jenkins called her the grand old lady. Mrs. Jenkins said the picture was just precious. Just precious.
My gran was a runner at school, cross country. So not a sprinter like me, but she taught me how to use my arms to sort of propel myself forward. So not like wings, but like grabbing at the air. It's hard to explain. So, what do you do now? Says Gran. I don't know, I tell her. I don't know. Did you think it would be easy? What? Did you think you would beat the boys and all would be fixed? Yes. Of course you did. You are a champion optimist. Gran's always taken stands. She's always off on marches for climate change, for peace, sending letters to her MP asking for help for people, holding meetings in her front room to talk about how to make things better. "I am a radical," she says. "Champion radical." When Mum left home, Gran went to live in Greenham Common. Gran said that camp was full of grannies like her. "It's what grannies do," she says. "Making the world better is her job," she says. Champion granny. "What will you champion?" Gran asks.
Dad gets the train every day. Gets home just in time for tea. But this night, he was late back. And when he came in, he looked so different. I can't explain. Mum rushed out of the lounge and took him to the kitchen. I listened at the closed door, heard him say to Mum that it made him want to throw up. "The words," he said, over and over. "The kids will see them. Our kids will see them," he said. "It's on their way to school," he said. He went out with Kenny and Mikey later. He came home covered in white paint. My sister told me after that someone had written some racist stuff on the big bridge and drawn swastikas in the school wall. Next day, all I saw was big splashes of white paint.
I'm in the woods. It is early. The sun is making these big shafts of light, like magic, like it's casting spells. I am there with my bin bag and my litter picker, but I'm standing very still because there is this beautiful chaffinch on this deep green tree. I'm thinking about what colour of pencils I have, or if it would be better in watercolours, and how I don't think I can paint this. It's just too... Hello? And standing there in the path is this old woman in running gear. She has a big black rubbish bag. "What do you need me to do then?" "Sorry?" And I walk to the special place. I'm not sure if I speak. Sometimes I don't. But she follows me like I have done. And she is not happy when she sees the mess that has been left. "Right," she says. "Let's get this sorted." At some point I must have told her about Jade and the display, and the boys shouting at Jade and Leela, and about the graffiti I saw on the bridge before Jade's dad painted it away, and about the planet and how sick it is, and how I want to be just like Beatrix Potter, and about my dad and the hide, and Mr. Jenkins and the chickens, and about my stones and my list, and through all of this, she just sits on this big log in the special place and listens, as still as the deer or the robin. She smiles when I come to a stop. "Okay," she says. "Let me help."
Gran has made us placards, one for each of us. Mine says, "I am a girl, hear me roar." I like that. And Haley and I roar like lions. There are loads of kids from our year. Even Rory is here. Jade's nan has a microphone and Mrs. Lomax is helping her set it up. We all laugh when it does this big screech of feedback. Gran goes over to help. I watch them laughing. These three women.
My mum is holding my hand. She squeezes it tight as the park starts to fill up. I can tell she was worried nobody would come. But I have already counted 100 and it's only 9:30. It will become 200 by 10. I know it's not anywhere near the whole town, but as Lily says, 10 is more than 1, and 200 is way more than just me. My brother comes in just before it starts. He is with his friends. He is waving his rainbow flag and has glitter on his face. He looks so happy. "My beautiful boy," Mum whispers, and I look up to see her crying. She says it's all good tears. I squeeze her hand. Wave at my brother.
My nan is up there at the mic. "Funny to see her without Granda," I say. Dad says, "Oh, he's here." And I think he must be. and great Nan too, because she begins to speak with this power in her voice that can't just be hers.
As I'm packing away my microphone, a man comes up to me, angry, red-faced. "I've called the police," he says. The girls are laughing and picking up the few wee bits that folk have left behind. So I speak quietly to him.
"Do you not speak English?"
he asks. "Typical," he mutters. I ask him what the problem is. He shouts now, full voice, spitting at me.
"You can't just do this. You need permission. I was here in the park with my kids. I don't want them exposed to this."
"To what?" I ask.
"You know."
"I don't know."
"Well, I've called the police. You know not everyone agrees with this."
"With what?" And then he looks like he might explode.
"You need permission,"
he hisses. My son is walking over now, so I say, "Okay," to this man. This one angry man. And we were hundreds. We were hundreds.